Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we continue our season of Advent, this season of anticipation and preparation when we celebrate all of the ways that Jesus enters into our lives. I'm really glad that we're all here today. I'm glad that you're with us. If you're with us on YouTube, it is a good day to be in worship. We have Sunday school bags in the back, so if there are children here, if you have children who will be coming to your house today, we have a Sunday school bag so that they can discover once again all of the ways that God loves them. There's also Sunday school immediately after this service here in the in-between service times for both adults and children, so join us. Last Friday was the first one. There will be four additional visits by Santa in the Square here in Sydney at the courthouse. This event is organized by a local organization for family and children, and we're looking for some more candy canes. We've got a lot, and we've been sending them out, but if you're coming by, you can drop them off up until next Sunday. If you've already dropped some off, thank you so very much, and I'm sure that the dentists of Shelby County will be happy for what you've brought also. Contribution envelopes for 2022 are available. They're over here by the parking lot entrance, up one level. So if you have yet to pick up your 2022 contribution envelopes, they are available. I want to say thank you to everyone who stopped by yesterday morning and helped with decorating. I don't know about you, but I love the way that St. John's looks as we get ready for Christmas. And so as we're getting ready for Christmas, you know, I believe it's printed in the bulletin, but I'm just going to remind you, Christmas worship. This year, Christmas Eve is a Friday. All right, so we have two services on Christmas Eve, 7 p.m., which will be a family service, 11 p.m., which will be a candlelight service. Christmas Day, Saturday, we will have a 9:30 a.m. traditional worship service for Christmas Day. There will be no evening service that Saturday. And then Sunday, December 26th, the first Sunday after Christmas, there will be a 9:31 service that Sunday, 9:30 a.m. contemporary service on the day after Christmas. I hope that you can join us for many, if not all, of those services. We've gathered this morning so that we can be in worship. We've gathered this morning so that we can continue our celebrations of Advent. So let us continue our worship by joining together in our gathering song, Everlasting God. Please rise as we sing together.
Faith arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Faith arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Everlasting
Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Advent is a time of preparation, a time of waiting and preparing for the Lord to come. The first Advent candle called to mind God's promises to us all. We light this second Advent candle and reflect on God's messengers, the prophets, and on the messenger, John the Baptist. The prophets carried God's message of love, a love that comforted the afflicted ones and afflicted the comfortable ones. Their messages always call us back to our relationship with God and to what God is doing for us right now. But they also call us back to our responsibility to one another, especially the last, the lost, the least. John arose in the wilderness preaching repentance as so many prophets before him had done. John also came as the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." John pointed to Christ and to God's plan for our salvation. Today we celebrate this messenger and his message to all God's people, even to us. May we learn from John how to point to Christ in our lives and in our living. Let us pray. O God of love, thank you for sending John to point us all to Christ this Advent. Help us to recognize in our lives all the ways that we may point to Christ and to the love you grant us all through him. Prepare us for his coming. Amen. Pray. Stir up your hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all the people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first lesson is from Malachi chapter 3. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God, the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel reading from Luke, we begin by grounding ourselves in reality, in history. Luke is really good at that as he constantly refers to the historical characters and events that set our story firmly in what really happened, in actuality. So today, our gospel story, we are locked into a reality that happened in the 15th year of Emperor Tiberius's reign, when Pilate was governor of Judea, when Herod was ruler of Galilee. It was during that time also that the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas was going on. And it was into that whole mix with all of that stuff that John, the son of Zechariah, rose up in the wilderness as a messenger from God. He rose up as a prophet. And so these figures from history that we read about provide context for us and ground this story in history. It happened at a particular time. But they also describe the status quo of this time. Rome was in charge through both Tiberius and Pilate. It's not God's people who are in charge of their own destiny, but Rome was the one that dictated what was so. It was much like the times when God's people were in exile, or after the return when the Seleucid dynasty was in charge before the Maccabean Revolution. Now, there was a Jewish king, Herod, but Herod ruled only at the pleasure of Rome. He was there kind of as a buffer. He was supposed to take care of all of the local nuisances and things like that. Annas and Caiaphas were also leading in the temple, but they led by Roman fiat. Their family had been, you know, wealthy enough to be able to pay for the privilege of being high priests in charge of the temple. So the status quo was keeping Rome happy. And if not happy, well, then at least we needed to let them, you know, allow us to do what it is that we were doing. And so the status quo was all about, we're going to keep everything on a nice, you know, calm. No one's going to ruffle any feathers. It was into this political and religious mix that John the Baptist entered. Now, John doesn't come to the temple. John doesn't ask for permission. In fact, John begins in the wilderness, in the desolation near the Jordan River, and he proclaims a repentance in the voice of a prophet, and the people begin to take notice. People have heard prophets before. They've heard a call to repentance before. They are keen on listening for prophets. The people are, because in Scripture, prophets are those who come with a message from God. Prophets are messengers from God whose message usually afflicts the comfortable ones and comforts the afflicted ones. Prophecy in Scripture is not about predicting the future, other than to say, if we don't change what we're doing, something bad is going to happen. So if something bad happens, it's not that the prophet was predicting the future. It was that we didn't change what we were doing. And so John's message comes And it tried to afflict the comfortable ones. And the comfortable ones were the ones who were doing okay with the status quo, who didn't mind working with Rome or with Herod or with Annas and Caiaphas. These were the ones whose lives were going well. What did they need of repentance? They didn't need to turn around or change anything, for goodness sake. They were actually invested in the status quo, and they wanted that to remain unchanged so that everything still just sort of worked out for them. But John's message was also there to try to comfort the afflicted one. And the afflicted ones are the afflicted of all times and all places. Those who struggle to feed their family. Those who struggle in their faith life or in their everyday life. Those who are lame, left out, cast out, addicted, unwanted. The afflicted are the ones for whom the status quo is the problem. It's the struggle. Climbing to meet the necessary heights, working themselves out of the pits and the valleys they find themselves in. For the afflicted ones, something has got to change. They need help. And you see, it was to both of these groups of people that John the Baptist came with his message. The repentance he proclaimed was to help the comfortable ones see the need of their neighbors. The repentance John proclaimed was to help the afflicted ones turn and see the power of God in their lives right now. John spoke of repentance and also of forgiveness, because forgiveness brings hope, and hope brings change to our lives. Repentance and forgiveness were the means that John used to help change the status quo and allow for the coming of Jesus to make the final repairs in our broken relationship with God. John's message was one like we read about in Malachi. Malachi says, the messenger is coming. So was he talking about John? Was he talking about Jesus? Maybe was he talking about you and me? And of course, my good Lutheran answer is yes to all. The messenger is coming. The day is coming like refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Repentance, change. As this message comes, something changes in our lives. We are scrubbed clean with that fuller's soap. All of the things about us, our sinful lives that make us filthy or smells not all that great, it all gets scrubbed clean in the love of God. That life we have is melted down until it is pure and all the dross burns off. This message comes so that we can recognize the fact that we have dross, that we are impure, that we are dirty and filthy with our sinfulness. But this message of John also comes saying that God is with us to scrub us clean, to make us pure, that the love of God is with us to help us as we repent. It's part of John's message. It's part of John's promise. And in Philippians, we hear another promise, a further promise, and that is that the one who began a work in you will complete it. Repentance is real, and forgiveness is ours, because the work that was begun is our repentance. The Greek word is to turn around, to turn back, our turning back so that we're walking with God, towards God, and recognizing all of the wonderful things that God does for us. This repentance comes in the love of God in Jesus Christ. This repentance leads us to realize that we are forgiven. And then Paul celebrates the fact that this forgiveness leads us to love overflowing. A love that overflows with knowledge and insight so that we can determine how best to live our calling and love and serve our neighbors. John the Baptist comes to proclaim a change in our life. Paths laid straight. For we have a destination from God, a destination to reach out to the world around us, to walk with Christ by our side. And so all the valleys are lifted up, all the mountains are laid low, Last night, there are wonderful people who come to our Saturday service for whom even the few stairs to get up here into our main worship area are difficult. And I asked, what would it be like if everything was all on one level? That's what John came to proclaim. He came to make the crooked straight, the rough places smooth, so there is no more hindrance in Christ. The status quo is broken in its power and its control then as well as now. We can let go of what the world has told us is supposed to be essential, so that instead we can truly become children of God on that smooth, even, wonderful way, walking with God. This change in our lives comes in the promise of the coming Christ. As John points to repentance and forgiveness, he also points to the one who is coming and from whom all of these blessings come. He points to Christ. It is the way for God's love in Jesus that John makes smooth and straight, bringing high places low and lifting up the low places. Now, there are times in his ministry that John struggles with this, but he proclaims this message regardless. There are times when we too struggle with the message and the ministry, but we are still called to point to Christ. We point to Christ because he is the source of our hope. He is the source of our life. He is the source of our forgiveness and peace every day. John points to Christ so that we might discover a change in our own lives. Whether we are comfortable or afflicted, the message of God's love comes to us. The promise of God's love comes to us. It comes to us now, today, at this table. It comes to us in our celebrations of Christmas. It comes to us in Jesus' promised return. Preparing the way of our Lord brings a change in our lives and leads us into loving our neighbor and caring for a world that seems lost. During this season of Advent, we prepare. We listen to the messengers and to all of their direction. We repent. We taste and see that the Lord is good. And then we go from here, following Jesus, pointing to Christ and bringing God's love to everyone we can. Amen. Please rise as we join in prayer. In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. O God, you send messengers into the world to proclaim the day of your coming. Make our bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay preachers confident in their preaching, that their words and our lives witness to your grace. Lord, in your mercy, send your Spirit to all living creatures that are in danger. Provide them with shelter and care and bring us into right relationship with the earth that you created and called good. Lord, in your mercy, send leaders to our nation, cities, schools, and businesses to work on behalf of those who have lost parents, spouses, and loved ones, immigrants, the imprisoned, those living in poverty, and all who are oppressed. Make them bold in their commitments to justice and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, send your servants to care for those who suffer. Use our ministries and our lives to reach out with compassion to those who are hungry, oppressed, lonely, or ill. Grant them healing and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, send prophets to speak difficult truths, even when they are poorly received. Embolden those who ask hard questions and challenge accepted ways. Instill in youth and elders alike a passion for pointing to Jesus in all things. Lord, in your mercy, we remember your saints, both those publicly celebrated and those more humbly remembered. Confident that your work will be completed, we live in faith until the day of your coming. Lord, in your mercy, God of new life, you come among us in the places we least expect. Receive these prayers and those of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. I now invite you to join me in our confession of sin for Advent. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God for whom we wait, in the presence of one another, we confess our sin before you. We fail in believing that your good news is for us. We falter in our call to tend your creation. We find our sense of self in material wealth. We fear those different from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us, Blessed One, and assure us again of your saving grace. Amen. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High, inheritors of the eternal promise, and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthen you anew to follow the way of peace. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I hope your week is a blessed one as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.